Welcome back. Well, the economy has dodged a technical recession. That says GDP growth outpaced analyst expectations with a rebound of 3.1% in the second quarter. Bulk of the heavy lifting has come from the mining sector, which grew over 14%. The trade and manufacturing sectors are also in positive territory. But the economy is still constrained, with growth for this year widely expected below 1%. And that's with the effect of the ongoing protests not yet priced in and a growth plan from the finance minister that has been met with some resistance and skepticism, I guess. Martin Ackerman, who's chief economist at Citadel, joins us in studio now to discuss the rebound in greater detail. Thanks so much, Martin, for joining us this evening. So we've had the economy bounce back stronger than expected, but it is off a low base. And some of the commentary that has filtered through is that much of this expected lift will be attributable to statistical base effects. So what's your read of the economic data print where, you know, the sense is that it has nothing to do with a sustainable turnaround in actual economic activity?
Yes, I fully agree that it is definitely a base effect. But then we also need to remember that going back to last year this time, we actually had another negative quarter. So then a low base effect from that first quarter didn't make any difference. Mm. So yes, definitely base effect, but there is some positives taking place that helped us to actually move forward and then probably caused the quite heavy rebound of 3%. And those factors are the fact that we actually didn't have any load shedding, we actually didn't have any disruptive strikes, and the global economy stabilized a little bit compared to the first quarter. So it just shows once again that, you know, if everything falls into place, Eskom can deliver power, we can get back to work without strikes, and the global economy support that this economy can still turn out 3-odd%. And I think that should be the positive today. Yes, compared to a year ago, we're still sitting on about 1%. So that's still below population growth. And as long as that's the case, we will see more and more of the social issues that we witnessed again today and rising unemployment. But I think given the turnaround that we've seen and what's in the pipeline in terms of reforms, you know, in time we will get back with growth slightly higher than population growth, and that will put us in a position to really start to address the structural issues.
Of course, amidst the riots we're seeing in the CBDs of Pretoria and Johannesburg, the big question is whether this is enough to temper some of the social issues at play that's sparking the riots that have come to the fore. How much confidence do you have in Finance Minister Tito Mboweni's blueprint to create 1 million jobs in order to fix the South African economy?
Yeah, I know the it's very much in line with previous plans that we had as well. So I think where we are right now, there's nothing wrong from a credible point of view with the points that's on the white paper. But we need to see action quite fast and execution. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing talking about it, and we've been talking for a long time in South Africa, but we're now at a point where we need to start doing. And in all honesty, we don't have another 4 to 5 years until the next election before we can start implementing some of the policies, because the economy actually needs that in the next 12 months. So from an economic policy reform point of view, we need to start doing that. And, you know, there's already a lot of things happening on the ground, which we don't see any on a daily basis. And some of that are boiling up in the numbers, like we've seen today in terms of the numbers that have been printed. Only if we're really serious about execution. And probably the first step is also to make sure that Eskom can be sustainable longer term. Then really we're on a path to make sure that the growth that we've seen today is more sustainable. We will see more of those, and that will contribute to more inclusive growth.
I know we talk about inertia as far as policy execution is concerned, but we have started to see shifts on some fronts. And I want to bring into focus the new debt relief bill, because many looking at just how much risk this brings into the economic equation. Yes, we've seen the finance sector, one of those growing over this period on the back of performances by our banking and insurance sectors. Do you see those now coming under pressure as a result of this bill potentially coming to the fore?
Well, you know, the banking sector and retail in general in South Africa, so anybody that's exposed to the consumer, whether it's sitting with a lot of bad debt or not, is under pressure, and something like this bill will probably provide some relief to the very low income group. But excluding that group, you know, the rest of the consumer base remain under pressure. So the bill, it's a fine balancing act by providing relief to the very low income earners, but also you need to look at what kind of pressure do you put on certain banking companies and the banking sector in particular. But I think all in all, you know, the consumer is still the biggest contributing factor to this economy. Mm-hmm. And anything that can help the consumer to be more confident and have a little bit of relief, because the consumer's been on a very bad patch with that going up, petrol going up again next week, less increase on social grants, high unemployment, will help eventually to make economic growth also more sustainable going forward.
Are you surprised at the fact that we've seen expenditure on GDP in the second quarter increase 3% quarter on quarter, spurred on by a build-up of inventories, which I guess makes sense, but then an increase in household expenditure and government spending as well?
Yeah, so private consumption, which is consumer spending, was up about 2.8%, was much stronger than the first quarter. So I take that as a positive, even if it's coming off a low base, because it just shows that, you know, the consumer is not down in debt. Mm-hmm. If you look at the breakdown of those components, the biggest driver was actually durable goods, which normally indicates that, you know, once you play into that space, you are more confident in terms of job security longer term. You're not going to buy a new car if you're not sure about where you'll have your job and if interest rates will go up. So that's a positive. Semi-durables were up as well, and then the other components also contributed positively. So it is an indication that the consumer is under pressure, but like I said, they're not down in debt, and that's positive. And who knows, with this current environment, we might see another, or the environment is actually ready for another potential interest rate cut.
Is that what you're pricing in come 2 weeks?
Well,
from
you know,
now?
The most central banks made a U-turn and is in cutting phase. Inflation is not really an issue at this point in time. We're moving away from the mid-range of the target. Yes, the currency blew out a bit, but we also know that the pass-through is much lower compared to history in terms of pushing up inflation. So if the Reserve Bank is not in a position right now, and forget about the 3% today, they will still look at the 1% for the year, which is it's still a weak growth environment. So if you can't make a case to cut rates in this environment, then you need to ask, but you know, what kind of environment will we see further rate cuts? So I think we're definitely paving the way to actually be possible to see another interest rate cut.
Martin, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Martin Ackerman is Chief Economist at Citadel.